Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I'd like to invite you to join me for a pilgrimage tour to France this September. It's based on my book, St. Benedict and St. Therese, The Little Rule and the Little Way. I'll be teaching about the spiritualities and the lives of these two great saints, and we'll be visiting the great monastery of Fleury, where St. Benedict's relics are venerated, and of course going to Lisieux to visit the childhood home of St. Therese, the Carmel where she was a nun, and the great basilica dedicated to her honor. But there's more than that. At Paris, we'll be visiting the Basilica of Sacré-Cœur, Rue de Bac with the Miraculous Medal, going on to Vézelay, Nevers with St. Bernadette, Paray-le-Monial, where the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus was given to St. Margaret Mary, and then Chartres Cathedral, Mont-Saint-Michel, the Normandy beaches, and more. I think there's not only going to be time for instruction and learning, but also prayer and worship, celebrating Mass in the various locations, and also time for fellowship and a good bit of French food and wine, too. Come and join us this September. If you'd like to know more, go to CatholicHeritageTours.com. That's CatholicHeritageTours.com, or be in touch with me through my website, DwightLongenecker.com.
Fellowship and love.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses.
As we forgive those who trespass
against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
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 Good afternoon. I'm Daniel. I'm excited to be with you today. A couple of things before we get started. If you are new around here, relatively new, we would love to meet you and tell you a little bit more about Nativity. Right after we finish the message today, we invite you to our Next Steps kiosk. It's right behind you on the concourse, and we promise we'll answer any questions that you have, and we have a special gift to thank you for joining us today. So please come visit the Next Steps kiosk right after we finish in here. And the second thing, right after we finish, I wanted to wish all of you dads happy Father's Day, and we have something for you when we are done in here as well. A couple of weeks ago, if you joined us for Mother's Day weekend, we had a nice little magnet with a scripture passage that we gave to all of the moms that weekend, but we couldn't do that again, do the same thing. We always got to be reinventing ourselves and doing something new, so we were thinking we got to do something a little bit meatier for the dads. So we decided that we are going to give you bacon. Bacon after Mass today, because what else could you want on Father's Day? So some of the previous Masses weren't sure if I was serious or not, but this is a real thing. We are offering you bacon after Mass today. It is delicious. I had to poison test it and make sure for you. So pick some up on your way out today. And dads, we hope you know now how much we love you. I today am especially grateful for my dad. I look back on my childhood and I think there are very few times when I ever questioned my dad's love for me or doubted it at all. My dad wasn't perfect, but he has been a very good father to me. And there were times, even though I didn't doubt his love, that I did realize my dad was very human. He wasn't superhuman. And one time in particular stands out. We were going as a family to visit my mom. She was working at a hospital at that point, and she was working an evening shift, a night shift, and so my four brothers and my dad and I piled into our van, and we brought some ice cream to go visit her on her break. And as we were walking out of the building, they have these concrete steps with some railings. And my brother Michael, my middle brother, was a snowboard instructor at that time. And he was always looking for opportunity to practice. And so railings presented that opportunity. So he jumped up and he went and grinded one of the railings. And my dad, seeing this, thought, oh, that's cool. I'll try it myself. My dad was not a snowboard instructor. Nor was he in his teens or his 20s or his 30s anymore. And so when he jumped up to try to grind this railing. He didn't quite get the lift or the balance, and his feet caught on the railing, and so he ended up flipping over it, and he smacked his head against the concrete. And you can imagine he got a pretty good wound from that. Now, I wasn't there to witness any of this because I was 5 years old and I was up running to the car to try to get shotgun. You might have lived this scenario out with your family before. And my brother Noah was yelling at me, "Hey, Dad got hurt. You need to come back." And of course, I didn't believe him because I was a single-minded five-year-old. He's just trying to trick me and take my spot in the car. But eventually I relented and I turned around and came back. And by that point, I don't think my brothers probably didn't want me to see my dad wounded like he was with his injury. And I was feeling a little scared because dads don't usually get hurt like that, and a little bit guilty because I didn't believe that it was happening at first. And I think in my five-year-old head, I didn't really believe that my dad could get hurt because dads are too big and strong and smart to get hurt like that. And so late that night, long after I was put to bed and my dad had been treated and stitched up, he returned home and he came and he woke me up gently just to reassure me that he was okay. And his face was very bruised and swollen, especially on one side, and he'd gotten stitches. And it was really the first time that I realized my dad had weaknesses, that he was very human. And yet I still, throughout childhood, felt very protected with him as my father, and I always wanted to seek his approval. And I loved it when my dad would wrap me up in his plaid flannel shirt as we sat around the dinner table or around the campfire when we would camp in the summer. And I loved it when he would watch me play basketball and give me tips on my jump shot or how to box out correctly. And he would make us furniture and boxes in his wood shop in our garage. And my dad was the one in our family who did most of the laundry and the house cleaning. So in these ways and in so many other ways, he is a father that I love and that I admire and that I'm so grateful to call my dad. And everything that I understand about my dad influences how I see God as Father. When I say the Our Father, I'm thinking of my Father. I do as my dad does. So as we start this new series today, we dare to say, we're talking about the Our Father, these 55 words that we thought we knew. And we're daring to call God our Father. I think that can get lost a little bit sometimes because it's the most repeated prayer in our Christian faith. It's one that we can just say every weekend and really not harness the power of those words. But it's the prayer that Jesus gave us, that he gave us when his apostles and his followers asked him, "How should we pray?" And so there's great power in these 55 words. And we're just going to take it phrase by phrase the next few weeks and kind of break it apart. And today we just start with two words, Our Father. And hopefully by the end of this series, we will never look at the Our Father the same way again. You know, Father Michael said that it's been in the news recently that Pope Francis was going to change the Our Father. And when I heard that, I thought, you know, there are some things that you just don't mess with. You don't mess with peanut butter and jelly, and you don't mess with crabs in Old Bay. You don't mess with Christmas Eve at the fairgrounds with the Nativity, and you don't mess with the Our Father. And luckily, as far as we can tell, the Pope is actually not messing with our English version of the Our Father. So he did a little bit of research and found out that what happened is these Italian bishops came to him and asked for a small change to be approved in the Italian. And the change is just the line, "Lead us not into temptation," would become, "Do not let us fall into temptation." And as far as we can tell, there's no plans to change the English right now. So we can breathe a sigh of relief and kind of follow these words through the next few weeks. So I told you about my dad, how my relationship with him influences the way that I see the Our Father, the way I see God, and I would imagine it does for you as well. But as much as I love my dad, I don't always agree with him. I think it's a prerequisite that he tells terrible jokes sometimes as a father, and he gets impatient. He's thrown more of my stuff away than I can even remember. He can be stubborn, and in so many of those ways, I'm a total reflection of my father. But I have to detach myself from all of that a little bit to go deeper into the Our Father and to understand how bold and how daring it is for us to call God that. Because when you look back at the Old Testament and the way that the Father came across in the Old Testament, God was feared and revered. Moses took off his sandals when God approached him. And only priests were allowed to really enter the inner sanctuary, which is where we would be sitting in their temples and in their tents of worship. And the priest served as the go-between for prayers and sacrifices. So there really wasn't much talking between God and people from the Old Testament because he was so far above us. There's just not much of a relationship there until Jesus comes along and he starts to speak to God in a way that is personal. He says things like this: "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." And he says this: "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." And he also says this: "If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So Jesus starts to reveal the character of the Father, and he shows us that he is one with the Father in a very unique way. So he's reintroducing us, this Father that we thought we knew from reading the Old Testament. We really don't understand him fully. When we say the Our Father, we're saying something that was outrageous when Jesus spoke it for the first time. It really was daring to say it because God exists so far above us, so far outside of our time and our sin and our reality here. And yet, he cares about us enough to craft us uniquely, every individual person. He cares enough about us to breathe life into us and to save us from our sins by sending his Son and to offer us unwavering love. But it's also outrageous to call him our Father because our understanding of fatherhood comes from our earthly fathers. And our earthly fathers are imperfect. All those things that I told you about my dad, the flannel shirt and the throwing away my stuff and missing the railing and getting injured, it's hard for me to distance those things from my understanding of fatherhood. And God is perfect. We are not. And that's exactly what infuriated all these religious leaders at Jesus' time. Because if Jesus was calling himself the Son of God, then Jesus was elevating himself to be God as well. And it was so offensive to them that he said that, they wanted to kill him. And so Jesus talks about this being one with the Father all throughout John's gospel. It's the Father and I are one. And then in chapter 5, Jesus physically heals a man who had been sick for 38 years. He was handicapped for all that time. And Jesus does this healing on the Sabbath. So it's considered work. And that just makes all these religious leaders furious at him, especially when Jesus justifies it by saying, "My Father is at work until now, so I am at work." And then it says this: "For this reason, the Jews tried all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also called God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Jesus answered and said to them, 'Amen, amen, I say to you, a son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees his Father doing. For what he does, his Son will do also.'" So the religious leaders, they saw God on a subordinate, superior level for the most part. If we do the right things, God will be pleased with us. And so for Jesus to talk about God as Father was so far out of their comfort zone, he has to introduce it in a way that makes sense. So what he does is he talks about Son and Father generally. You'll notice Son and Father aren't capitalized here. That's very purposeful, because Jesus is talking about the general relationship between a son and his father. And he says, "The son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees his father doing. For what the father does, his son will also do." It's a simple way of saying, we do as dad does. And as babies, we can see this. We start talking and we start walking, not because we're born with that, but because we see the people around us doing those things. There's a video that's going around the internet right now that is a dad and his infant son having a conversation, even though the son can't form any words yet. And it illustrates this well. Take a look.
Right, don't bring that in. You know what I'm saying? Don't do the same stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I think that, yeah. Yeah. Like, go somewhere else with that, but don't bring it here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's what I said. And then he was like, ah, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, what in the world? But don't do it here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Really? How about the same thing? We think a lot alike, huh? Come on. That's crazy. Right.
So you can see even in a video like this that kids automatically do as dad does. I think this speaks to the power that our earthly fathers have, but Jesus uses it to explain the relationship that he has with his heavenly father. So he goes on and he says, for the father loves his son and shows him everything that he himself does. Capital F father, capital S son. Now he's talking specifically about his relationship with his heavenly father. And they're so unified that they're one. They can't do anything apart from the other. So he takes it to the extreme to do as dad does. When Jesus gives us the Our Father, he's inviting us into a deeper relationship. He's inviting us to pray in a way that maybe we haven't ever prayed before. He's inviting us to know God. But at the same time that the Our Father reveals who the Father is, it reveals who we are. If he's our Father, we are his children. And a child cannot do anything on their own, but only what they see their father doing. So what do you see the father doing? You know, we pay attention to what our earthly dads are doing, but do we pay attention to what our heavenly father is doing? To know and do as dad does, we have to start paying attention. So do we see our father creating and healing and empowering and transforming and even loving us? Or do we see our father deserting and hurting and belittling and even leaving us? And your answer probably has a lot to do with how you view your earthly father. If you have a difficult relationship with your dad, it's more challenging to see God as a father with those qualities that we desire, the fierce love, the unyielding strength, and the endless mercy. But here's a challenge for you this week. Start to write down who you see our Father as being. Start to just list those qualities and be honest. Include your concerns and the questions that you have about God and add to that list as things come to mind throughout the week. And if it's difficult to start thinking of positive attributes, then begin by thinking of the ideal Father. What would that look like? And start to list those as well. And then do as dad does. Try to live out those qualities in your own life. Maybe pick one to live out each week. I'm fortunate enough that many of the qualities that I see in our Father, I also see in my Father. When I think back on him wrapping me up in his flannel shirt or waking me up after the injury that he had that night, I'm reassured of his abiding love for me. I hope today that you can be reassured of God the Father's abiding love for you. That it's similar to the love that our fathers have for us, but it's also multiplied so many times over. That fierce love the Father has for us, it speaks through burning fires and healing waters and the people around us and through the scriptures. But love that most of all speaks through the Son, who took up the cross out of obedience to his Father and out of love for us. Jesus did as his dad does, and he asks us to do the same. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you today for our Father and for our fathers. We pray blessing upon all of our fathers on this day. You would help them to know that they are loved and appreciated. Thank you for creating us, for pouring into us and loving us so completely. I pray this week that we can do as Dad does. We pray all this in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.